Welcome to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's Fiction Podcast. I'm Janet Hutchings, Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine's editor. This month we present a tale by the best short story puzzle spinner of them all, Edward D. Hope. The author of nearly 1,000 short stories, Ed Hope was a mainstay of our magazine, with a story in each monthly issue from 1973 until a year after his death in 2008. He was a Grand Master of the Mystery Writers of America and a winner of virtually all of the field's top awards. Excellence in plotting was Ed Hope's hallmark, but he also created some of the most memorable series characters in mystery fiction. Dr. Sam Hawthorne, a New England country doctor, is my favorite, and the character inspired radio man Dave Amaral to create a series of plays based on the original Hawthorne stories. Here's one inspired by the problem of the locked caboose, first published in Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine in 1976.
Let's see, where were we? I had finished that story about the haunted bandstand, hadn't I? Oh, yes. Well, things were pretty quiet round Northmont for the rest of the year. 1924 it was. It wasn't till the spring of 1925 that the next really exciting thing happened. Here, let me fill your glass. Ah, now, let me tell you about a train trip I took. You see, the spring floods had washed out most of the roads, which is why I took the train to Bowville. It had been raining steadily all day, and it was about 11:30 at night when I walked into the train depot here in Northmont.
Hello, Dr. Sam.
Evening, Edgar.
You traveling tonight?
Just as far as Bowville, filling in for Doc Sims.
He ain't ailing, is he?
Oh, no. He and the wife are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary, sailing to Europe on the Mauritania.
That's where I should be.
Yes, it's a far cry from the midnight train to Bowville.
Sure, she's early for once.
What's the trouble?
Got a special shipment of valuables to put aboard.
Valuables? On that old clunker? How come?
Most of our passenger trains don't have cabooses. This one does, because it hauls freight cars. And this caboose is a paymaster's car with barred windows and a good, strong safe.
Well, what are these valuables?
They're shipping the Glenworth jewelry collection to Boston for auction.
That should bring a fancy price.
I hear tell it's worth $250,000.
That much?
That's what Jasper Parsons says. He was old Mrs. Glenworth's lawyer, and he ought to know. Parsons is traveling with the jewelry, and naturally, he wants it protected from train robbers.
So, you think they'll block the track and ride up on horses?
What's this about robbers?
Oh, hello, Jasper.
Who's this?
Well, you know the doc, don't you?
Oh, yes, Dr. Hawthorne, isn't it?
Evening, Mr. Parsons. I've seen you around town, though I don't know as we've ever met.
Well, what's this about robbers?
Oh, me and the doc was just speculating.
Oh, you traveling tonight, Doctor?
Only as far as Bowville, to see some patients.
Do you have the strong box, Edgar?
Got it right here, and glad to get rid of it.
Sounds like she's a-coming.
Well, I'm ready.
A revolver?
I'm taking no chances. I won't rest safely till this shipment is safe in Boston and out of my care.
I know what you mean.
Dr. Hawthorne, you can be of assistance, if you will. This strongbox won't fit in the train safe, so I have to transfer the contents. I'd like you to witness the transfer.
I'd be glad to.
Thank you, Doctor. Okay, let's go.
We walk quickly to the rear of the train, carrying the strong box between us. The lawyer's free hand still gripped the revolver, and I couldn't help chuckling at the melodrama in it. We climbed aboard the Pullman car adjoining the caboose. The door of the caboose was thick and firmly anchored in its casting, with a small square opening some 4 or 5 feet from the floor. It was barred, like a teller's window
Conductor,
at a bank.
I'm Jasper Parsons.
And covered
this
with
is
glass.
Dr. Hawthorne. We have a shipment of jewels for your safe.
Yeah, I was expecting you. I am Franz Schmidt. Unload the strongbox while I open safe.
I'll be relieved to have these locked up. They will be safe with you, won't they?
Yeah, it is safe. This is payroll car. Take it to where men repair track. Pay them right from here. Yeah, it is safe.
Here, Dr. Hawthorne, take this list. Check off the pieces as I hand them to the conductor. One emerald necklace.
The green and gold ornament was so beautiful, I almost forgot to check it off. What followed was even more amazing. Diamonds and rubies.
One ruby bracelet.
All in fancy settings.
One ruby dinner ring.
There were 9 pieces in all.
Cameo brooch, ivory.
And I wondered if a quarter of a million hadn't been a low estimate.
One diamond tiara.
All there.
Will someone be here all night?
Yeah, I have bed here. I will sleep. Not to worry.
We left the empty strongbox on the floor and went out, crossing the swaying platform. In the Pullman car, we were greeted by another conductor,
find your birch,
smoking
Phyllis,
a long, curved stem pipe.
My name's O'Brien, and I take no sass from drunks or troublemakers. We're here to sleep, and anyone making a racket will find themselves off the train.
I'm Dr. Hawthorne. Could you wake me about 10 minutes before we reach Bowville?
Be glad to, Doctor. You're in berth number 9. Mr. Parsons, you're in number 7 here.
Well, what do you want?
Oh, Mr. Apple, I clean forgot you was in there. Sorry to disturb you. Well, take number 3, Mr. Parsons.
Is this going to go on all night, for heaven's sakes? I'm trying to sleep.
My apologies. I'm Sam Hawthorne, traveling as far as Bowville.
Well, that's a coincidence. I'm bound for there myself.
I thought only doctors arrived in Bowville at 4 a.m.
Doctors and artists.
Oh? What kind of artist?
I paint. They say the spring sunrise over the Bowville Pond is one of the loveliest sights in all New England.
Well, I hope you enjoy it. Now I'll let you get back to sleep.
You all settled in, Doctor?
Just about. Say, Conductor, who is the girl in number 11?
That's Miss Winter, Miss Dora Winter. Pretty little thing, isn't she?
I've never been one to ignore a pretty face.
Well, have a good rest, Doctor. I'll wake you in plenty of time for Bowville. Doctor, wake up.
What is it? Bowville already?
No, it's only 2 o'clock, but I think Schmidt is hurt. He needs a doctor.
I quickly dressed and followed the conductor. I had expected to find the caboose door standing open, but it was closed, just as we'd left it. Franz Schmidt was sprawled face down in a pool of blood. From him, my eyes went immediately to the safe. The door of the safe was standing ajar, and I knew we'd find it empty.
You see him in there?
How do we get in?
We don't, not without breaking in. My keys won't work. He's got it bolted from the inside.
Doesn't this thing open? You must open it for payrolls.
It can only be opened from the inside. It's got a spring bolt that snaps shut when it's closed.
Well, we have to reach him. He may still be alive. Is there a trap door on the roof?
Sure, but you can see from here it's bolted on the inside.
Well, then how about the back door? Can you go over the top of the car and try it? We'll never get in this way.
All right, I'll try it.
He climbed the metal ladder and across the roof of the caboose to the far end. Finally, I could see him through the barred window, and I could see that the other door was bolted too. But the window in it was bigger, the bars set farther apart. O'Brien smashed the glass and reached in for the bolt. After a few moments, he found it. He entered the caboose and paused to look at Schmidt before unlocking the door for me.
I'm afraid we're too late.
He's dead. There's a wound in his chest. Looks like a stab wound.
But there's no knife. What happened to the knife?
The killer must have taken it with him. Notice his right hand. He's written something on the floor with his own blood. E-L-F. Elf.
But you saw how the caboose was locked. How could the murderer get in?
I'm more interested in how he got out, leaving all the windows and doors locked from the inside. Let's take a look at this window.
Not even a child could fit through there, if that's what you're thinking.
No, no, but maybe an elf could.
What?
You'd better wake Jasper Parsons and tell him his jewelry is gone. The lawyer didn't come alone. When he arrived at the caboose, fully clothed, the girl from berth 11 had tagged along, wearing a mighty fetching lace-trimmed peignoir.
What happened?
You'd better stand back, Miss Winter.
Is he dead?
Yes, Mr. Parsons, he's dead.
Was he murdered?
Yes, miss, we think so. Now, please go back to your berth.
I'm staying.
That jewelry was in my care. This'll ruin me.
Well, let's see what we can do about getting it back.
Back?
O'Brien, am I correct that the train has made no stops since Northmont?
That's right. First stop is Greenhaven in 15 minutes.
And how fast have we been traveling? 20 miles an hour?
Oh, mostly faster. We slow down over this stretch at night.
Could anyone jump from a train going this fast?
Not a chance, especially along here. It's all sharp rocks and a sheer drop on one side and a steep grade on the other.
So we can assume that the killer and thief is still on the train.
What should we do?
You'd better tell the engineer to stop at Greenhaven and notify the police.
They may hold up our schedule.
Oh, no. I just knew I wasn't going to get to Bowville in time to paint the sunrise.
There'll be other sunrises for all of us, I'm sure. All of us except Hans Schmidt.
Yes, of course. I'm sorry.
Tell me, did you hear anything in the past hour or so?
No, not since you awakened me when you boarded.
O'Brien, tell me something. How many people knew the combination of that safe?
Only two of us, Schmidt and me.
So the safe must have been opened by either you or the dead man.
It sure wasn't me. How could I have gotten in and out?
Schmidt would have opened the door for you.
Sure, and he'd have opened it for Parsons,
too. Now, wait a minute.
And he'd have opened the safe for him, too. They were his jewels.
You're not blaming me for this.
All right. We're not getting anywhere. Schmidt is dead, and his killer is still on this train. In a few minutes, we'll be in Greenhaven, and we'll have to answer to the sheriff.
What can we do?
We can try to straighten this out ourselves.
Suits me, as long as I get that jewelry back.
How many other passengers on the train?
Only Mr. Apple in the Pullman.
How about the car ahead?
Empty.
And the others?
Freight.
Crew?
The engineer and fireman, that's all. A freight handler gets on at Greenhaven and rides the rest of the way.
Let's go see Mr. Apple.
Mr. Apple, wake up, sir.
What is it?
I'm sorry. We have to ask you to get up, sir.
Oh, what's the meaning of this? It's the middle of the night.
There's been a murder, Mr. Apple. We need everyone's cooperation.
A murder? You mean here? On the train?
That's right. In the caboose. Murder and robbery.
You're not safe anywhere these days. I suppose it was some of those Chicago bootleggers.
It was 2:25 a.m. as we came into the Greenhaven station. The sheriff of Greenhaven was a fat man named Putnam, who was obviously annoyed at having had his sleep disturbed.
All right, Mr. Parsons. I've ordered my deputy to search every inch of this train for the stolen jewelry.
There are 9 flat jewel cases. The largest is about 10 inches by 8 inches.
If they're still in the cases.
What?
The thief could have tossed the cases off the train at any point and hidden the jewelry in a smaller container.
Well, if they're on this train, we'll find them. We'll search everything, including the passenger's luggage.
A killer, clever enough to escape from a locked caboose, would be clever enough to hide the jewelry where it won't be found.
Well, I can't understand. We've searched everywhere.
You've got to recover that jewelry.
Those jewels of yours just aren't on this train.
Sheriff, there's a great deal of money involved here.
Well, there's a great deal of money involved in running a railroad, too. We gotta get rolling.
Maybe I can be of help. We all seem to be forgetting that the murdered man left us a dying message. A message obviously pointing to his killer. Now, an elf is a dwarfish being of German mythology. The sort of thing Schmidt would be familiar with.
A dwarf?
O'Brien, is there a dwarf connected with this train in any way, either as a crew member or a recent passenger?
No, not that I know of.
What's all this business about a dwarf?
The murdered conductor had written the letters ELF on the floor of the locked caboose, and I may be able to show you a way in which a dwarf could have killed him.
This I want to see. Let's go. All right, now let's get on with this. The doc here is going to show us how a midget could have killed him and escaped from this here locked caboose.
Well, there are a number of hiding places in here. Under the bunk, behind the safe, behind those boxes.
And you're saying this midget was already hiding there when the caboose was locked?
I'm saying it's a possibility.
And you think he was still hiding there when you broke in?
No, he couldn't have been, because O'Brien entered through the back door and he'd have seen anyone behind the safe or those boxes.
Then how did the dwarf get out?
Well, the paymaster's window can be opened from the inside. Someone small enough could fit through it. And once through, he could swing the window closed, and the lock would snap shut.
And how'd this midget get Schmidt to open the safe?
I don't know.
And if your dwarf went out that tiny window, how'd he reach it? It's chest high for a normal person, and I don't see a chair or box near enough for him to stand on.
I don't know.
There seems to be quite a bit you don't know.
I don't know that there was a dwarf. We only have the dead man's message to hint that one ever existed.
Sheriff, have you thoroughly checked out this conductor here?
Now, wait a minute.
He knew the combination of the safe. Schmidt would have let him in, and he only pretended to unlock the rear door later.
That's not true. I'm tired of being accused of a crime I didn't commit, and we're an hour behind schedule already.
I am going to miss my sunrise.
All right. Let's get going. But I'll ride along with you as far as Bowville. That's still in my county.
Now, there was no sleep to be had for the rest of the journey. We all sat up in the caboose, drinking bitter coffee, and speculating about the killing.
I say it was a common, ordinary train robber. He jumped onto the train somewhere, climbed on top of the caboose, and dropped into it, through that trap door on the roof.
And just what was Schmidt doing all this time?
He was taken by surprise. The killer forced him to open the safe, then knifed him and bolted the trap door, so it would look like the murderer was one of the passengers.
And how'd he leave the caboose?
Oh, there are tricks you can work with door bolts.
Not with these doors. See that metal rim around them? There's no space for a string of wire to fit through.
I've got it. The knife wound didn't kill Schmidt instantly. We know that because he lived long enough to write his dying word. Suppose the killer stabbed him and fled. Schmidt staggered to the door, closed and bolted it, and then fell back to the floor.
Hey, maybe you got something there.
Why not call for help instead? We were right in the next car. You see, he'd have had to bolt the door, take out his key and lock it, then return the key to his pocket. Remember, there's only a few drops of blood near the door.
Then it's impossible. Just plain impossible.
Elves and midgets. He was killed by elves and midgets.
Conway Falls. Coming into Conway Falls. Next stop, Bowville.
It was 4 a.m. when we pulled out of Conway Falls, and we were still a half hour away from Bowville. We'd managed to make up some time, but we were still running late. The scream came from the platform between the cars. I dashed from the Pullman, realizing that Dora Winter must be in some sort of trouble. I found her struggling with Mr. Apple.
Let me go!
What is all this?
Mind your own business, Dr. Hawthorne. This doesn't concern you.
I aimed a blow at his jaw, which he easily dodged. Before I could recover my balance, he countered with a blow to my stomach, which took the wind out of me. I fell to one knee on the swaying platform, and he quickly gave me a hand back up.
Here. I didn't want to kill you.
I'm okay, Apple.
I'll leave you two alone.
I don't know how to thank you, Dr. Hawthorne.
Was he trying to attack you?
He's just an animal.
Don't worry. I'll stay with you to make sure you're not bothered.
Oh, thank you, Doctor.
When we arrived in Bowville, Sheriff Putnam stopped Dora Winter and I on the station platform.
Just an added precaution, folks, in case my men missed anything in the search.
Why, certainly, Sheriff. Would you like to check my medical bag?
Okay, Doc. And you, miss?
This is my case of paints.
All right, go on.
Are you leaving me, Dr. Hawthorne?
There's nothing more I can do, Parsons.
How come you got off here? You were going on to Boston.
Not without that jewelry, I'm not. It was in my care.
Let's have a look through your bag.
Certainly.
About that time, Apple got off the train, accompanied by O'Brien. I noticed that O'Brien was counting out the Pullman tickets, counting each one. It was then that I knew the solution to the problem of the locked caboose. I took a prescription blank from my pocket, scribbled a short note, and handed it to Sheriff Putnam.
What's this?
Just an idea I had. It might help you with this case.
All right. Thank you, Doctor.
Dora had brought her paint case and easel. We'd strolled through the first morning light to a point overlooking a quiet country pond.
Oh, the sun's just rising. It's so beautiful.
Ah, that it is.
Do you make this trip often?
No, I've come to cover for a colleague. How about you?
No, I don't come often. Not in the middle of the night, at least.
Miss Winter, why did Apple try to attack you?
He wanted to spend time with me here in Bowville.
What made him think you'd be receptive?
I have no idea.
Was it because he'd seen you with Schmidt?
What do you mean?
I've been thinking. The question was not how the murderer escaped, but rather who opened the safe and stole the jewelry. Once we answer that question, the rest becomes clear.
And you know the answer?
Schmidt was alone, in the locked caboose. The safe was opened and the jewelry stolen. Schmidt, and only Schmidt, could have stolen that jewelry.
Then who killed him? And what happened to the knife? And the jewelry?
Oh, he had an accomplice, of course. He told us he was going to bed. But when we found him, he was still wearing his uniform. He was expecting someone. Someone he had told about the jewelry in advance.
And why did you ask me if Apple had seen Schmidt and me together?
Because you were the accomplice. Schmidt opened the safe and passed the jewelry out the paymaster's window to you. I don't know what story the two of you planned, because he never got a chance to tell it.
What do you mean?
You stabbed him in the chest, through the window. He staggered backward, leaving a few drops of blood near the door, and collapsed near the safe. You simply pulled the window closed until the spring lock snapped. You didn't escape from the caboose, because you were never inside.
How did you know?
It came to me when I saw O'Brien counting the tickets. Schmidt didn't know what name you'd be using on the trip, but he did the next best thing. He identified you by the number of your birth. Elf, the German word for 11.
You'll never live to tell! Oh!
It was then she lunged at me with the knife. No, she didn't even scratch me. That note I gave the sheriff told him to follow me and be ready to arrest her. He grabbed her before she could do any harm. The jewels? Well, most of them were found in her paint tubes. You see, they were open from the bottom and then closed again. She'd thrown the larger pieces and the cases off the train. And, what? Oh, you got to be leaving now, eh? I was just getting warmed up. Say, next time I'll tell you about Northmont's big kidnapping. I always called it the problem of the little red schoolhouse.
The Problem of the Locked Caboose is copyrighted by Edward D. Hoke and was produced by Dave Amaral. Heard in the cast were Jim Watt, Delbo Bell, Harry Young, Rick Wagstaff, Lisa Stark, and Richard Scott as Dr. Sam Hawthorne. Sound editing for this podcast was by Emily Giuliano. You can subscribe to Ellery Queen's Mystery Magazine, where you'll find more exciting mystery and crime stories, by visiting our website at www.themysteryplace.com/EQMM.